Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me, for the children to see.
That's what we're doing here on this Thursday evening. That's what we're planning on doing. We're stacking stones of truth. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful to God that we're able to lay line upon line, truth upon truth, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. That's the way God designed for us to do it. And that's what he told us to do. And that's what we do here on the Old Paths broadcast. And I'm your host, Brother Brandon Teague. And it's good to come to you this Thursday evening on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm not alone. I've got my co-host riding shotgun with me tonight, and we're going to be stacking stones of truth, brother. Brother Jason Cooley from Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Good to have you with us tonight, brother. Are you there, brother? Well, we got a connection problem, evidently. We're going to have to work it out here in just a second. But anyway, every time we go to do a show on this subject, and we're talking tonight, we're talking about satanic deception, and we're doing a show on him being the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. We've talked about your adversary, the devil. We have talked about him being the anointed cherub that covereth. Last week's show, we talked about how Satan was once a cherubim named Lucifer. He guarded the throne of God. He walked in the midst of the fiery stones. He literally was over the mercy seat in heaven, was right at the throne of God. He was a being that was created by God, and God loved that being. And he turned on God. He took a third of the angels in heaven, and he turned them against God, and led a rebellion against God, and was cast out of heaven for that purpose. And he became Satan, the deceiver, the devil. And ever since that time, he's been doing his best to destroy God's creation. He's been trying to distort the truth. He's been accusing the brethren. He has been attacking those children of God who would serve the Lord. And he's doing a very, very good job of it in this day and time that we live in. And hopefully we'll have Brother Cooley on here in just a second. And we're going to get into some more.
I'm back, brother.
You're back. Amen. Well, the devil can't hold a good man down. Amen.
Well, amen. The prince of the power of the air is working tonight here. It seems like every time we start talking about some of these spiritual battle that's there, the deception and the devil and his power, it seems like something always happens when we're on topic with that, like we have been for the last two or three weeks before. It's just something that the devil doesn't want out there. The devil likes to keep everything shrouded in somewhat of a mystery. That's what the mystery religions do. Mystery Babylon, Masons, all the cults that are out there like to have this mystery about them, and that's what the devil does. He likes that mystery.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He is a master of illusion. And, you know, something I've been close to here lately, I've got a good friend, and he witnesses to Mormon missionaries. He's got a burden for them, and you know, I applaud him in trying. You know, and that's something that is a niche that he has. He tries his best to befriend them, and he tries to get them to hear the gospel, and he's praying for them and tries to love them for Christ's sake. And he's got some good friends who came out of Mormonism. But, you know, he studied it. He knows it probably better than most of those Mormon missionaries do. But one thing for sure, it is shrouded in mystery, and it's shrouded from even those missionaries. They don't know a lot of the truth, or say truth, the lies, but they don't know a lot of the things that are being taught in that religion. And he actually causes them to have to go back and ask questions. So, yes, devil, he tries everything he can to make things a mystery. And I can just keep going on and on. But I tell you what, brother, I told you earlier today, pray for me. My throat is sore. And so we're going to keep on going and do the best we can tonight. But I may have to get you to do most of the heavy lifting tonight. But I'm glad to have you with me today. And I already told him we're talking about the Prince of the Power of the Air.
Amen. That's right, brother. That's exactly what we're talking about here tonight. And we've been looking through some of these different titles of Satan. I've preached a series. I finished up a 10-part series here about a week ago on Satan, on Lucifer, or whatever his name used to be, different names that he has and titles that he has. And, you know, Lucifer, that fallen angel, or well, actually not an angel, excuse me, that fallen cherub, the anointed cherub that covereth, he actually has a lot of power. He's called the God of this world. He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air, the Prince of Dark, the Prince of this world. Many different things that he's called in Scripture, and the Bible gives the illusion, gives the understanding that Satan is powerful. He has a lot of power, and you and I have to wonder, you know, when we think about this, how many people have been duped by this Prince of the Power of the Air, by the God of this world. We talked about it last week, the deceiving power of Satan, and how he, with wisdom and with cunningness and with wisdom and with light, he deceives many, and many have been taken by his snare and trapped, and we need to understand that, and that's why I'm preaching this. I've preached this series. That's why Pastor Brandon and I have come together with this and decided to bring this on the air, because it's very important that you and I need to understand, or that we acknowledge the fact that there is a devil out there, and he has a lot of power. And Brother Brandon, this is a little off topic, but it's not really. You know, the thing that surprises me, I'm hearing a lot of lately, is this talk of spiritism. The people are being swayed by spiritism. That, you know, for instance, I talked to somebody yesterday, and they had mentioned to me that they had heard my testimony, and they heard some things online, and of my testimony. And one of the things that they said that when I was at your church, if you remember, Pastor Brandon, I preached my testimony there Sunday evening, I believe it was, and we had a good time there, a blessing.
Absolutely.
It was just a wonderful time of fellowship and preaching and just gathering around the Word of God. And I remember preaching that there, but this lady listened to this, and she said, you know, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. And she started to talk about some of the issues in her life, and I would never mention the person's name at all or anything like that, because it's somebody that is dealing with some spiritual matters that is looking for some help and some guidance. But she mentioned some things that she's battling with, and she mentioned some things about making a profession when she was like 9 years old or something like that. But really, her motives were not exactly there. Like the gospel wasn't really, like her being saved was not really what it was all about. But I remember her saying that, you know, she was praying and praying about having a pet or something, and that God would give her a pet. And she said a few years later, God gave it, and that's how she knew she was saved. And then she talked about some signs and wonders of the charismatic church that she had been to, and some things that they had done. It all reminded me of Satan's power, of this Prince of the Power of the Air. It reminded me how much power he actually has, and how close people can come, Brother Brandon, to the truth, but never get born again.
Right, and I'd like to add to that and just tell a little bit about one of my children. My 16-year-old son, his name is Jesse, and when he was about 4 years old, I can just share this brief little testimony. When he was about 4 years old, of course, he'd been in church his whole life and he'd been a pastor, and we were talking one night, excuse me, and we were looking at some pictures on the wall, and some pictures of my dad, who'd passed away, and he was in heaven. And Jesse began to ask me about heaven and about, you know, if my dad was there. And you know, he told me, he said, "Daddy, I want to go to heaven when I die." And he said, and tears welled up in his eyes and his bottom lip began to quiver. And he looked at me and he said, "Will you help me?" And, you know, of course, you know, in that moment, brother, I had tears running in. I was laying on my back on top of our bed and he was sitting on my chest. And I had tears running in my ears, out of the corners of my eyes, and I said, "Absolutely, son." And I told him, you know, I asked him, "Do you know that you're a sinner, son?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I know I've sinned." And I said, "Well," I said, "Do you know Jesus? He's the Son of God. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead." You know, I went through all that, but he prayed that night. And he asked Jesus to be his Savior. And I went all those years talking to him, you know, as if he were saved. And then he runs the cameras here in our church. And one Sunday night I preached on hell, or one Sunday I preached on hell. I preached about the horrors of hell. And it bothered him so. And he God began to deal with his heart. And he later told me, he said, I went in here in the bathroom in church and I got down on my knees and I begged God to save my soul. And I said, "Well, I thought you were saved." And he said, "I realized I got saved because I wanted to see your dad in heaven. It's not that I didn't get saved because I knew I was lost and I needed to be saved. I just didn't want to miss seeing Pawpaw in heaven." And he said, I finally realized that. And Satan had had him deceived all that time, believing he was saved. And, you know, that's brother, ain't no telling how many people are going to go to hell because they wanted to go to heaven, but it wasn't the right way.
Right. They didn't see their lost condition before God. You know, I know we're not this show isn't about that, but I will tell you one thing that I have seen over and over and over again. That story that you've told, I cannot tell you how many numbers of people have come to our church with that same type of a story. And once the story is over, what they basically tell you is that, "Well, I prayed this prayer, but I didn't really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had people tell me they were at vacation Bible school and everybody was going behind the curtain and they wanted to go behind the curtain too. And so they just said it. And in many vacation Bible schools, they just teach you to memorize a prayer. They teach you to memorize like a Romans Road type thing. And that's where they leave it at. And unfortunately, that's not Bible salvation. We need to be awful careful about how we deal with that, because Satan is a master deceiver, and
absolutely
he wields a lot of power. And for people to think that Satan is not religious, they're dead wrong. He's very religious, and he doesn't mind if you're religious. In fact, he loves the fact that you're religious, and
absolutely.
He loves the fact to see your religion take you all the way to hell. And he'd be fine with that. So we need to understand that prince of the power of the air and just how absolutely religious he really is. I mean, look at it, brother. I've got another sermon that I preached on this, but it all ties in to the devil and talking about the devil. And we could go over the same thing next week, and it wouldn't change. You know, we'd still need it. We still need to understand these things better. But he talks about... Satan is a master deceiver, and he's a master of spirituality and religiousness. Look at all the cults. Every single one of them religious. Look at the JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They've got better standards than most Baptists do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they abstain from evil more than most, you know, most Baptists do. But what happens? What's the difference? The difference is they don't have Christ, and they're going to die and go to hell. And
that's right.
They're deceived into a religiousness. And the same thing goes for the Mormons, who have another Christ or another Jesus that they don't believe the Jesus. Same thing goes for the Roman Catholics. Biggest religious organization in the world is Rome, and next to it are the Muslims, and they all are devout and many of them devout and sincere people that are very religious.
Oh, yeah.
They're very ceremonial, but they're going to die and go to a sinner's hell because they don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never been born again. So Satan is very religious. And he understands these things. And I just wish people would get the gospel straight. They would understand it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And
amen.
It matters, and we need to get back to preaching that and preaching it in all sincerity and in all truth. And the Lord will bless us for that. But this Prince of the Power of the Air, brother, tonight as we look at this, we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. The Bible says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Unbelievably amazing as we look at this, the text, and we understand the aspects of Satan. The power of the air is how he executes his power. We'll cover that a little bit more later on in the next hour, possibly right at the top of the hour. We'll actually cover that part of how he executes his power. But some things that we have to understand, Brother Brandon, some things that are important to this study in order to really grasp this is understand that, number one, Satan is not omnipresent. He's not
right.
God. He's not omnipresent.
Hey, brother, before we get on into this thing, let's go ahead and do this. I want to give out the call in number just to let folks know they can call in. If you've got a pen or you've got some way to write it down, here it is. Our guest call in number tonight, 646-915-9266. Again, that's 646-915-9266, and you can join myself and Brother Jason Cooley here on the Old Paths broadcast in our discussion of Satan, the Prince of the Power of the Air. And also, I want to tell folks this too. I want to tell folks out there that you can find the Old Paths broadcast on Facebook. We've now got a media ministry page, and all you have to do is go online and find Faith Baptist Church's Facebook page, Faith Baptist Church, Paris, Texas, and then you can go to the Old Paths broadcast on there, and you can leave your comments there on the show and different things, and we'd be glad to receive your comments. And anyway, let's get back to it, brother. You were talking about Satan. He's not omnipresent, but you know, he's able to know a lot of things in a lot of places, and I think a lot of times people give him too much credit for being everywhere. I said this last week. You know, people say, you know, well, you know, Satan's been attacking me, but truly he doesn't have God's attributes. He cannot be there with everybody. And again, I think we're putting a little much importance on ourselves to think that the actual personality of Satan is with, you know, some people. Surely there's an explanation,
well,
and I think you've got it.
That's right, brother. He's not omnipresent, but he has forces that work everywhere. He has a kingdom. Satan is the god of this cosmos or this world. He is called the prince of the power of the air and Beelzebub. He has forces in the sky or princes in the sky that work for him, and they work against God. He has this, just like Christ said in Matthew chapter 12, Christ did not deny the kingdom of Satan. In fact, he said, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. What Jesus is saying here is he is recognizing the fact that Satan has a kingdom, that he is a king, and he has a kingdom right now. You know what's amazing to me, brother? I've been saved for 12 years now, and I have never, and I grew up in churches before I was saved, and I have never heard anybody really acknowledge the fact that Satan has a kingdom. That he is the God of this world. I mean, they've read the verse before, but I've never heard anybody preach on it. I've never heard anybody preach extensively on it. In fact, a Facebook friend of mine, Shane, by the way, him and I have talked about this a lot on the phone, and about the fact that most people, most preachers today, don't preach on the spirit world anymore. They don't preach on those things as much as they used to, and not a lot out there on those subjects that they need to be covered. They need to be talked about and taught to people that they understand that Jesus Christ never denied the fact that Satan had a kingdom. In fact, what he said was, is that you're calling me the prince of Beel, or that I, by the power of the prince Beelzebub, cast out devils. So he understood that. You know, and Jesus recognized that power that Satan had there. Those devils are at his work. They're at his bidding. Those demons, those demons are at his bidding.
Right. And I myself have not heard a lot of preaching on Satan. And, you know, I really think that a lot of times, you know, pastors don't want to fool with it because of the very reason, you know, we're having so much trouble. And when you start preaching against Satan, I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat it. You get under attack. You come under spiritual attack. You start upsetting his apple cart. He's going to retaliate, and he's going to try to cause problems in your life. I remember, excuse me, folks, I'm going to cough tonight. You're just going to have to put up with it. But pray for me. But I remember years ago hearing about a preacher, and he published a book on Satan, and I mean, it's kind of funny, but, you know, he couldn't sell the book. Nobody wanted to buy it, so he had all these books stacked up in boxes in his garage, and, you know, and he went through all kind of spiritual attacks because he wrote this book on Satan, trying to expose Satan, and finally, one day his wife went out, she was doing something in the garage, and she noticed that there were holes in the boxes, and she looked in there, and the rats had got in there and chewed up all the books, and she came in and told him, she said, praise God, the devil's gone. Rats have eaten him. But
that's funny, brother.
But that's so funny. You know, the devil's out of our garage, so the rats have eaten. But anyway, I don't think people want to touch it. You know, it's been replaced with the prosperity gospel. It's been replaced with feel good positivism, and you know, it's a whole lot easier to do the name it claim it than it is to really get down in the trenches and fight.
You know, it's very interesting that name Beelzebub, brother. It means the Lord of the Fly. Lord of the Fly, the Prince of the Power of the Air, the Lord of the Fly. It very interesting. I don't believe that these devils have the power to reach heaven or anything of that nature. I believe these devils roam the earth, is what I believe they do. I don't believe. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just going to say the Lord of the Fly. Now that's not Lord of the Flies. That's not like that's not like the bugs that buzz around in your house.
No. Lord of the Fly is
I clear that up.
Yeah, amen, brother. That is dealing actually with the devils. The devils, you know, is what that's dealing with. And when I say devils in modern terms, I mean demons, which I happen to believe and contend that those devils are not the same as fallen angels. I do not believe they're the same. Now, we don't have time to really cover that tonight. That's another show. But I do not believe that they're the same as fallen angels.
Okay.
So it's I believe those devils to be something else. Now, I wouldn't make a major contention with somebody if they said, no, they're fallen angels. Okay, that's okay. I just have a problem with that because devils are always looking for a body. But we see in the book of Daniel, we see angels that are fallen angels that are flying around, called the prince of the prince of Persia, and different names, and they're flying around there, and they're fighting against Michael, your prince, it says, when Daniel was trying to get prayers through. So those angels were flying around in the air. They were Satan's fallen angels, were actually up there trying to battle against the Lord's angels, and we've seen that before. So anyway, that's another story altogether. It's something to get into when we do a study on the sons of God and the daughters of men and a few other things like that. We can kind of cover some of those things and you know, more on the spirit world as time allows.
Okay.
With that kind of a subject. Okay, but I just want to lay that principle down
right
there, because when you see the prince of the power, he rules the air, and I believe that these devils report back to him. I believe these demons, I believe they do report back, and you know, he's not omnipresent, but with literally thousands and thousands, if not millions, even, we don't know exactly the exact number, but with all of those that are out there, devils and demons that are out there, you know, he knows, he's a master at being able to get information. So yeah, do I believe that there are devils and demons that trail people and watch their actions? Absolutely.
Oh, sure, sure. And you know, you remember you may remember the commercials back in about 10, 12 years ago. Miss Cleo, I'll tell you your fortune, Miss Cleo. You know, she come on late night TV. This black woman, and she was, I guess she was Jamaican or whatever. She was the first big spiritual advisor that came on the scene when all these commercials about call in and get your reading done, man, and all that stuff. You know, and now I've seen commercials, you know.
I remember that commercial.
Yeah, Miss Cleo, you know.
Keeping it real with Chloe.
Yeah.
Cleo.
Exactly. And, wow. You know, And we look at that, and somebody might say, well, that's a joke. But I can tell you something, and I know you know this for real. It is real. What she's doing is very real. What these spiritual advisors do is very real. Now, the difference is, it is very much of Satan what they do. And the reason, there's this television show now, and I've never watched it, but it's Long Island Medium. It's this Jersey woman. She's from New Jersey, and she's going around, or she's from Long Island. That's where she's from. She's got this Long Island accent, and I've had people tell me that she goes around and they're getting gas, and she's like, "Did your Uncle Harry? Did he work at the you know, whatever?" And they're like, "Oh my goodness, you know, she knows all these things." Well, here's how she knows, because again, there are devils watching everybody. And when you sit down with one of these advisors, the devils that inhabit her being, because she's possessed, are communicating in the spiritual realm with the devils that watch you. And so they're able to tell you, I mean, they're not like us. They don't live 70 years and they croak. I mean, they're in the spiritual realm and they know everything about you. They know your history. And so they're able to communicate it to the spiritual medium, and then she's able to spit out information that she shouldn't know, and people are blown away by it, and they think, oh my goodness, this woman, she has all this great information, and we've got to trust her now.
That's right, brother. That's exactly what it is. The devil's work, and people can reach these, possessed people can reach these, or people that interact with devils and demons, they can reach that side, and they can know some things about people, and it's very, we see that example in the Bible. So we understand that there is a spirit world out there that is constantly at work. There is a kingdom out there that is constantly at work against the kingdom of God.
Amen. Well, it's break time, brother. We got to take a break, and we'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk some more about the Prince of the Power of the Air. And as we go to break, we're going to go to break with the Seminole String Band, good, godly family from Seminole, Alabama. And the first song we're going to play is a song called It's Just a Book. And it's not saying that it's just any old book. You listen to the song, the words, it'll tell you the message. That's the way a lot of people look at the Word of God. They say it's just a book. It's a book written by a man. Listen to the words of this song. Seminole String Band, It's Just a Book. We'll be right back on the Old Paths broadcast.
I hear some people say, put that old black book away. And then I just remind them once again, that's just a book that saved me from damnation. It's just a book that cleansed me from my sin. It's just a book that founded this great nation. And it's our only hope to get her back again. Walk God's Ten Commandments, they don't like my King James Bible. They don't care to hear what Jesus Christ has done. They speak with such conviction and condemn us with such boldness. But just show that book and man, just watch them run. If it's just a book, why are you running? If it's just a book, why getting so mad? If it's just a book, why getting so nervous? It's just a book that knows every thought you've had. And intents of your heart. It's just a book that showed me full salvation. It's just a book that read my title clear. It's just a book that gave to me the victory. It's that King James Bible that I hold so dear. It's just a book that saved me from damnation. It's just a book that cleansed me from my sin. It's just a book that founded this great nation, and it's our only hope to get her back again. It's our only hope to get her back again.
But it's not just any old book. It's the old black book. It's the Word of God. It's the, as Brother Lester Roloff used to say, that's my mama, boy. I got born again there. Don't talk about my mama. Amen. I like that. Amen. Praise God. It's just a book. Amen. If it's just a book, why are you getting so nervous? Amen. Why do they want to get rid of it? Why don't they get rid of all these other religious books? Why do they get so nervous about the Bible? I tell you why. Because the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, and it's what Jesus used to fight back, and it's what you better use to fight back if you have any hope to win against the attacks of the Prince of the Power of the Air. We're talking about tonight on the Old Paths broadcast, Brother Brandon Teague alongside Brother Jason Cooley. Call-in number tonight, if you'd like to call in, be a part of the program, 646-915-9266. One of these days I'm going to memorize that number, brother. But anyway, let's get back to it. We're talking about the fact that, that Satan's not omniscient. And for those of you that don't know what that big word is, that means he can't be everywhere at one time.
Right. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He does.
Yeah, yep. I got it wrong.
He does. That's okay. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know all things. He's not all knowing. He can't. Right. But he has millions reporting to him. Satan is a master, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But he's a master. Him and his devils are master at watching the outward, how you react, and how you do things. He's a master at that.
Yeah, they can't know your thoughts. They can't get. I mean, if you're a child of God, they can't know what you're thinking. But you're right. They study you. They watch you.
Right. I don't have to know what you're thinking. I can tell what you're thinking because whatsoever's in your heart is going to come out. So if you're feeding your heart a bunch of garbage and you're living wickedly, then I know. And if your actions show one thing, then the devil knows what to tempt you with.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be all knowing. He knows exactly how to tempt you. He knows the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I've said this before. He knows the word of God better than most people do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, you were talking about that, you know, whatever you feed your heart, that's what's going to come out. I heard a preacher give a real good illustration on that one time. He said, you know, if I go down and eat in a Mexican restaurant and I come back, he said, I don't have to tell my wife where I ate. You know, he said, if I eat a bunch of garlic, I come back home, I don't have to tell my wife what I ate. Because you know what? It's going to come back up. It's going to burp. I'm going to burp it out. She's going to smell it on my breath. And that's exactly how the devil does. He watches. The devils watch you. They see what comes out. They see what you talk about. They see where you go. They see what your eyes follow. And they see what makes your eyes glow. They see what makes the places, the things that you watch on the commercials and the things you listen to. They're studying you, and we may think we're living on an island and we get away with all kinds of things, but you know, it's not only the Lord watching you, but you also got a tempter that's watching you, and he's studying you to find out where your weaknesses are, and he'll also find your strengths, and he'll pull you down in that direction as well.
That's right. He's an absolute master at doing that, when you look at the devil, when you look at his power, when you look at Satan's power, and you understand this prince of the power of the air, he is a master at mimicking God's work. Now, he cannot be God. He cannot do the same things that God can do. But what he can do is use what's in his sphere of authority. And that's mm-hmm. what he does here. He has an army that works for him. And that's exactly, so he's not all-knowing, but he is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is not omnipotent. He is not all-powerful. He is not God. He is not all-powerful. However, he does have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
He can use the forces of nature against you.
Absolutely.
He did it with Job. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. He could kill like he did Job's children, but he didn't kill Job, but he still killed his children.
That's
he can raise up armies and wars and be a lying spirit.
Yep.
He can have you locked in prison like he did Peter and those others. Mm-hmm. He can afflict your flesh as a thorn.
Absolutely. Keep going, brother. I'm listening to you.
He can bring fear and doubt and oppression.
Well, how many people? Hey, hold on a minute. How many people?
Yeah.
Tonight are on antidepressant medication because of doubts and oppression. How many people are trying to control a spiritual problem with medicine? It's just unbelievable. How many people think a little pill can cure a spiritual problem? And I know there are people out there who are mentally unstable. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people tonight who've got real spiritual issues, and you're being assaulted by a spiritual enemy. And instead of running to God and turning yourself over to him, instead of being born again, instead of, you know, I'm talking to Christians. I know Christians who are assaulted spiritually, and they turn to the doctor who gives them medication that affects their communication with God. And don't you think for one second that that's not Satan and his forces trying to keep you out of having a close personal relationship with your Heavenly Father? Because I can tell you tonight, that's exactly what it is. It's getting you to rely on something besides God.
That's right. That's his goal. And these depressant pills and everything else, all they do is just put you in a state where as soon as those people get off of them, they want to kill somebody. And
while they're on them, let's just say this. I want to say this just for the sake of saying it. Antidepressant, when you are depressed, when someone is depressed, what are they doing? They're thinking too much. They're sitting and dwelling on their problems. They're just absorbed in their self. They're absorbed in their misery. They're absorbed in their problems. And all they doing is thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. So you get a pill so that you don't think. And so now their thought processes, which would tell them what's right and what's wrong, are dulled. The senses are dulled. Their ability to discern is dulled, and they're way more susceptible to spiritual attack.
That is absolutely right. Drugs, pharmaceutica, we understand what that means if you do a study on that. You know, you will see that what takes place there. That's another show, but yeah, there's a lot there with that. And anyway, so the devil's a master at that, though. He's a master of doubts and oppressions. He can cause sickness and pain to come to you. He can give terrible nightmares and visions of wickedness. He has the power to accuse you. He is not all powerful, but he carries a lot of power. He is able to use and do these things, and it's crazy, but he does have that, and those that neglect to understand that, those that neglect to understand that will not be able to keep track of or to understand the wicked devices of the devil. We are not to be ignorant of his devices. The Bible is very clear that we have all the answers in the Word of God, but we've got to take that Bible, that sword of the Spirit, we've got to break it down, we've got to know our weapon, we have to understand it, and so we can fight and battle the devil. Satan is not sovereign. He's not sovereign like the Almighty God. He is not the ruler of all. However, he is the God of this world, and he does have some power. He does have quite a bit of power that he wields. And we're going to break that down the next hour, really. What is power? What is the prince of the power? I mean, what is his power? What is it? We do understand that he will indwell, and he has the power to indwell. And we understand what he did to Judas in John 13:27, and after the sop, Satan entered him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly.
Right. Before we jump any further, I want to just talk about the fact that all those things you were naming that he can do, like you said, he can have you locked up, he can afflict your flesh, he can bring the fear and doubts and oppression. You said he can cause sickness and pain, he can cause nightmares, visions. He does accuse us before God. He's the accuser of the brethren. All those things, and if we are not careful to remember, we got to remember. I'm telling you, people forget that. They forget, and that's what he wants you to do. That's why there's so much. He's angry as he can be tonight because we're talking about this. Like we started the program off, he wants to shroud himself in mystery. He wants to be a secret within a secret. He wants you to think of a caricature. He wants you to think of a spooky character. He wants to pretend to be a Halloween costume. He wants you to believe that all that's just a bunch of voodoo mumbo jumbo, and that stuff doesn't really exist. That there's a little bit of evil in all good, and a little bit of good in all evil. He wants you to believe that nonsense and forget that he's really there, so that when those things come against you, you find somewhere to place the blame. You blame it on flesh and blood. Are you blame it on society as a whole? Are you blame it on medicine? You blame it on somebody. Maybe your childhood, the way your mom and dad raised you. You blame it somewhere, but you're not. Or you have to go to the psychiatrist and get therapy, or You'll go anywhere you can, and what you're doing is you're saying, well, I don't really believe the devil might have done this. You're forgetting that you have an enemy, and God has told you that, and you need to understand how powerful he is. And once you see what we're trying to teach you tonight, once it becomes a very viable idea in your mind, because the Bible teaches this, we're not giving you something out of some textbook somewhere. We're giving you something out of the Word of God. And once you see it for yourself, then you can acknowledge that enemy. And once you zeroed in on the enemy and you know how to fight back, then you can begin to win the battle. And that's what we want to do, is equip you and help you. If you don't know who you're fighting against, you'll never win the battle. You're just swinging at everything.
You know, that's very true, brother. You know, one of the saddest things that I have seen amongst God's people today is the fact that they don't really know who the real enemy is. They look at Obama, they look at this person, they look at the Liberty Movement, and let's look at the Liberty Movement. The fact that in that movement there you have people that they see the Rothschilds, they see the Fed. I understand, and I agree with you. And the Fed, I agree with you the Federal Reserve is a private cartel, banking cartel that are devil possessed. I agree with all that. But here's the problem. I preach a sermon on this. You can go to sermonaudio.com and go to our Old Paths Baptist Church website there, our sermon page, and listen to this. You can't fight the New World Order without Christ. You have to understand that Christ is the answer to any of the problems of this world, and the problems with the Christ is going to put them down someday. We have to understand that Christ is the only way that anything is going to get fixed, is by the gospel being preached and men being saved, because the devil is at work, and he is behind the New World Order. He is the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. He is that mystery, iniquity, Babylon. He is that. And in the end times, as we are steamrolling through to the end times right now, the one thing that God's people need to wake up, and, you know, Paul said that in Romans chapter 13. He said, it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to wake up and understand that you're battling a roaring lion who walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He is looking for you. He wants to destroy you. But you know what's going on today? Too many Christians and their pastors are playing patty cake, instead of having a cakewalk, instead of standing for the Word of God and getting out there with the sword of the Spirit, that King James Bible, and fighting the devil.
That's exactly right. Amen. Revelation 12:11. Listen to what it says. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And that is where we are going to have to be in these days leading up to the tribulation period. It is going, listen, like you said, we can't fight the New World Order without Christ. And let's just be honest. Fighting the New World Order is a futile battle. Now, I'm not saying we lay down and give up. I'm not saying we just give in to whatever. No, I believe it's a noble fight to stand against wickedness. I believe it's a noble fight to refuse to give in to the dictates of this corrupt and wretched, miserable excuse for order and government. I believe that you ought to stand for what the principles of the Word of God first and foremost, and then secondly, the things that our country was founded upon, which are based on roughly upon the Word of God to begin with. Now, I believe you ought to stand for all that. I'm for what the Liberty Movement stands for. But like Brother Cooley said, you've got to do it the Word of God's way. You've got to do it God's way. You've got to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You've got to overcome by the word of your testimony. And you've got to quit being afraid to fight. Because, like it said, they loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, they were willing to die for what they believed in. And we're going to have to get over this fear of death. We're going to have to, if we're ever hope to have any chance to succeed in the days to come. Because let me tell you something, honey, it ain't going to get no better. I'm going to tell you, our founding fathers had it right. They said liberty, John Adams said, liberty once lost is lost forever. We got to learn how to stand up and hold on to what we have now by fighting for it with the word of God, because that's the only weapon that you have that's going to do you any good.
Amen, brother. That's right. Once you recognize who's behind all of this, once you recognize that the devil is the one that is behind all this, that it's the mystery of iniquity versus the mystery of godliness. That is the war, the mystery of iniquity. It has always been the war. Go from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. It's the same war. People want a different story. There is no different story. It's the mystery of iniquity versus the mystery of godliness.
Mm-hmm. One enemy the whole way through. One enemy. That's going to say that snake in the garden. Hey, he's going to be that beast in the Revelation.
That's right. And you know, it's amazing, brother, as we go along here and as we see the leadership of our country, we see that whether it's a Democrat, Republican, whatever it is, the parties and the president and everything else, we are seeing lawlessness everywhere. We are seeing phones being tapped, everyone being spied on. All of this is nothing more than that prince of the power of the air. It's nothing more than his work.
Right. Absolutely. You can wring your hands, you can fret about it, but at the end of the day, the only thing you can do is hit your knees and pray and ask God to protect your family, but you need to be willing to fight. You've got to do it God's way. You won't win trying to do it any other way. You know, you're not going to vote them out. They're entrenched. The enemy is entrenched. The enemy controls the system. Don't think for one second that the enemy doesn't run the show. The only thing we can do is protect what we have in God's power. We can try to bring more. Listen, you can't take them down. The only thing you can do is preach the gospel to more people and lead more people to Jesus by preaching the word of God to them and building the kingdom of God in the Lord's power, letting the Holy Ghost of God use you to preach Christ, the gospel unto them, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Ghost of God turn the light switch on in their soul and show them their sin, that they might repent and turn to God, turn to Christ and believe and be saved. That's the way you win. That's the way you battle. And you're going to have to fight the enemy. And like we talked about, you've got to know who that enemy is. It's not your pastor. It's not the guy sitting across from you. It's not your next door neighbor. It's not your kids. It's not your mom, your dad. It is this person we're talking about tonight, Satan.
That's right, brother. That's exactly who it is. It's the devil. Nothing has changed with him. He's on the same plan that he was on before. He has never changed. He wants to destroy man. He wants man to worship him. He wants God to worship him. He came to Jesus and wanted Jesus to worship him.
That's right.
He is the prince of the power of the air. And one of the things that's so amazing about Revelation chapter 13, it says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?" This beast, this Satan, he will empower the Antichrist. He will empower that beastly, that system. He will do it, and he will rule the world one day until Christ puts him down, until Christ comes. In this next hour, we'll talk about exactly what that means, the prince of the power of the air, and what he has power over, and what he's able to do, and shows all the scriptural examples of things that he has done.
Amen.
Against the people of God. And I just wish that the people of God hated Satan as much as he hates you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, if you could really get a grasp of the scope of destruction that he has done in your own life. I mean, Most people, they talk. Here's what I've learned as a pastor, brother. People love to talk about all their problems. And I've dealt with some women here lately, and I'm careful to use that woman women, because they're not ladies. And there is a distinction between a woman and a lady. A lady is a, mm-hmm. is and I'm saying this to those out there listening. A lady has character. But I've dealt with some women here lately who all they want to do is gripe. All they want to do is complain. All they want to do is look back at all the bad stuff that's happened to them over their life and blame everybody in the world for all of their problems. And I had one tell me just the other day on the phone, I want to be closer. I'm trying to get closer to God, but so-and-so, and this one and that one, and blah, 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 and on and on. And, you know, they need to realize they are under attack. There is just, there's no denying that they're under attack. And, I'm not sure if this woman's even saved. Either Satan's trying to keep her from getting saved, or he's trying to keep her from growing in the Lord. One or the other. I told another one here recently, who every time I would try to talk to her and give her some spiritual counsel to help her to begin to walk like she ought to with the Lord, all I would hear is what everybody had done to her. And I told her, I said, you know, if you were driving your car, looking in the rearview mirror, what would happen? She said, well, I'd crash. I said, and that's exactly what's happening with your life, the way you're living it, looking back all the time. And she's not looking at her enemy. And she's not focused on the right things. So many people do that. They focus on everything that's gone wrong instead of realizing, I need to be able to fight the one who's doing all this. Instead of battling, just going on and on and giving excuse after excuse and complaining. Look, let's deal with the problem. Amen?
Amen. That's right, brother. There's only one way. There is no armor for the back. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, there is no armor that covers the back. None at all.
That's right.
Is no armor for the back. If you run away, you're going to get beat by the devil. If you stand with the sword of the Lord and you fight, he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
But,
Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
No, you go ahead.
Too many people today are running from the enemy instead of standing and fighting. But if you don't know your sword and you don't have your armor on, then you're not going to be able to stand. That's why the Bible says you put that armor on, you get that word of God, you get the sword of the Spirit, and you know that sword, and you understand how to use it, and you're able to combat all the fiery darts of the wicked one with the shield of faith. But the problem is today is that God's people are too busy watching Superman fly around in his underwear instead of reading the word of God and learning something. There was an article today that says that all of these Christians are supporting this because Superman is a type of Christ. Well, let me be very clear. He is mocking God. They are mocking God. They are a bunch of devil-possessed people that make those movies that are spiritists, and they're mocking and they're laughing at God, and you are funding that when you Christians are going out and watching that. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves and get right with God.
Amen. Praise God. I stand with you 100%, brother. I know it's a lonely crowd. Ain't too many of us that stand in that circle. But I tell you what, I'll stand there with you because I know that's where the Lord stands on the subject. And I think somebody was told D.L. Moody, I can't remember if it was D.L. Moody or John Wesley, but they said the whole world, I believe it was John Wesley, said the whole world's against you, Mr. Wesley. And he said, well, then I'm against the whole world. And that's the way I look at it, too. I'll be against the whole world if I stand with Jesus, and that's fine with me. We're going to go to break, and as we go to break, we're going to listen to Daly and Vincent, and man, what voices those guys have! And this is one everybody knows. This old standard, the old rugged cross. The call in number before we go to break: 646 646-915-9266. Call in after the break. We'd love to hear from you. 646-915-9266. We'll be back in just a minute. The Old Rugged Cross. Take it away.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down.
Near death, when he gave this cry, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Think of the tremendous love and devotion that our Lord had in suffering such shame and such agony as he was on that old rugged cross.
We'll exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling
ever do. Amen.
Amen.
I just stay at home and sing all day. Praise God, man. That's awesome stuff. Daily invents at the old rugged cross. Amen. Get back to our subject today, and I tell you what, I'm thankful. Let me say this. I just want to give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for me and taking my sins away. I'm thankful for that old rugged cross. I'm not going to be like Rick Warren and his buddy. I can't even remember what his name is now. She's Oprah Winfrey's mentor, who said, don't make the mistake of clinging to the old rugged cross. I tell you what, I'm going to cling to it, amen. That's where the blood was spilled that paid for my sin debt. That's where my Savior died for me. That's where all the sin of the world was cast upon him, and he drank every drop of it. And the Father turned his back, and the universe went dark, and the earth trembled and shook as the Creator was dying for his creation, mankind. I'm thankful tonight that my Savior not only died for me, but that he was buried, and after 3 days he rose from the grave, and he's alive forevermore. And I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing tonight were it not for my precious Savior, Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for everything he did for me.
Amen, brother. Absolutely, I am too. I can ditto that same thing that you just said, and saved from a life of sin and wickedness, and
yes,
you know, plopped out, pulled out of the miry clay, amen, and put on solid ground, and the Lord changed my life and made me a new man, and it's just a blessing to be born again. It's a blessing to be able to reveal these things, but also to be able to say, hey, listen, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us from the prince of the power of the air, and that death has no hold on us. We die, we go straight to be with the Lord, and we don't have to worry about death. Amen?
Amen. Well, brother, let's get back into this. Let's talk about Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air, and we've talked about a little bit of this already, but let's get into it. How does he do what he does? The Bible tells us, the Bible's clear on, I mean, the Bible tells us we're not ignorant of his devices. So let's look at it tonight, and if you want to get into it, you can explain some things about how he does what he does.
Well, amen, brother. Again, the Bible reference verse, Ephesians 2:2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, the way Satan works on the lost as the prince of the power of the air is, quite honestly, he deals in them. He dwells in them, or he works inside them, the Bible says. So he may not always be possessed by Satan, but the Bible says that he works in them. He works in the children of disobedience. He is that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, wherein in times past ye walked. Us, the ones that were once lost and knew that we were lost, we were walking according to the prince of the power of the air. According to him, we couldn't fight the devil. We didn't want to fight the devil. We were altogether evil and in wickedness and in sin and didn't care about that. And that's who the devil works on. That's how he works on the lost. The Bible says that there is no war with them. He's not warring against them. He's warring in them. He is working in them. He is leading them and guiding them. That's the one thing that I want people to understand. That's why I push so hard about this thing of the liberty movement and things like that. Yes, it's important, and I'm for it, and I'll stand up against the wickedness of this world and against wicked politicians and everything else, but understand this one thing. If you are a lost man, then the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience works in you, and that's the devil. That's his spirit. That's his wickedness works in a lost man. You can't have it in between. You're either saved or you're lost.
Right. And there's a YouTube video out there of you preaching. Are you in a college, university, campus, or are you in a city park?
I'm in a city park, brother, outside where the devils come out, that one that I preached.
Yeah, when you preach in open air, the devils come out.
Yep.
Yeah, and why don't you just talk about that? You're talking about how he works in the children of disobedience.
That's right.
Give them the title to that so they can go to it and describe it for them, if you would.
Amen. Yes, you can go to our YouTube channel and you can see this video. And I posted on my Facebook page. If you want to be friends on Facebook, you can contact me. It's Jason Cooley. And just look for us. You'll find us there on Facebook. But, you know, the YouTube page that we have is Old Paths Baptist MN. And you can go there and you can find our videos. And one of the videos that we did there, we always record everything that we do on the streets and everything, just so we have a witness there of everything. And amazing what the Lord protects you from out there on the streets and everything when you're preaching the gospel in the open air. Remember, he's the prince of the power of the air. The title of this video is called "The Devils Come Out When You Preach in the Open Air," and in this video, there's a young man that I am preaching the gospel or attempting to preach the law and the gospel and calling men to repentance in the open air. And this young man comes up, and you'll see one video we did where he is standing on his head while we are preaching the gospel, while another brother in Christ, Russ Hildebrandt, is preaching the word of God out there on the street. And this man stands on his head. Well, he got even more wicked when I got up there and preached, and you can see that we are battling everything that you see in the book of Acts. If you want to see some of those amazing things, those battles that take place, then just go preach in the open air. And you won't see these things on Sunday morning in the church, but you will see them in the open air when you go preach. We're preaching, and this man could not help himself. And I told him that. Somebody said something. I said, he can't help himself. He just can't. He's being led by the devil. Because the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience is working in that man. And I just continued to preach the gospel by the grace of God, continued to call men to repentance as I was standing there and preaching the word of God. And he kept trying to resist me and to fight the Bible, the word of God. And the reason why is because the devil was pushing him and leading him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, he mocked you. He was doing some kind of distorted voice and trying to pretend like he was, I don't even know how to describe what he was doing, but he was pretending like he was playing air guitar. He was being a death metal singer or whatever, and he was mocking what you were saying about the lake of fire, and then he got this little British accent and started saying "Down with Harry Potter" when you were talking about wickedness. I can't remember, but anyway, you watch that, and it is. It's like, I hate to say it, but it's like dinner theater. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, this has to be set up, but I know, and you know, it was very real and just amazing. Yep. And you're right. It's like Paul walking through the streets of different cities, and they following him, saying, I can't remember off the top of my head what he said, but they were mocking
him.
Brother,
let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that happened to us there the same time. This is how you know when you listen, preachers out there, pastors out there, listen to this. If you want to preach, if you want to battle the devil and you want to preach the word of God to people, go in the open air and do it, and you will see when you preach in the open air, God wants his pastors, his preachers to be out there and preach in that open air and to preach the gospel, because the prince of the power of the air is at work out there. And I'll tell you what, brother, the first time we went out in Northfield was just about a month ago, and the first time we went out, brother, we went down on the street. And I didn't get this on tape, and I wish I would have, brother, but I ain't never seen nothing like this before in my life, brother. The first day we went out, there was a 50-year-old sodomite skipping down the road like a 3-year-old girl would, skipping up and down the road, and he could not help himself. He was going nuts listening because he could hear that preaching, and it was driving him nuts, and he was a have you ever seen a very big 50-year-old sodomite skipping like a little girl down the road, up and down the block, up and down the block, up and down the block. Why? Because the preaching of God's word was driving that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience nuts.
Amen. It's kind of comical in a way, because it just goes to show who's the one in charge here. God has more power than Satan. That's why it just drives him crazy. He can't battle it.
He can't stand it.
Right.
It's amazing. See, we're going to do a show sometime, Brother Brandon, on street preaching and really talk about that. And I'll have some men call up and give some examples and everything of just some things that have taken place. And it's amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, they just can't handle it. And I can't remember whose video. And by the way, if you'd like, we posted that video we were just talking about. Brother Lonnie, our producer, he's posted it on the Faith Baptist Church website as well, if you'd like to go in there and check it out. But and of course, I wouldn't advise people to go and listen and watch this one, because there is some serious profanity in it. But I believe it was Gateway Anabaptist Church, where they confronted the black man who thought he was God on the street.
That was Gateway. Yep, yep.
And
this
black man was trying to proclaim that he was God. And I mean, it was just absolutely insanity. And it just goes to show you, brother, Satan's got minions everywhere. That's why I've had
he
so
sure
many
does,
door-
brother. He sure
I was
does.
Just gonna say, that I've is, had so many. Ahead, I've had so many doors slammed in my face. I've had so many horrible things said to me over the years. I've had an old woman chase me around the parking lot with a stick in her hand. I mean, I can tell you stories. Just absolute crazy things happen when you preach the Bible. Go ahead.
Amen, brother. And you know, you will see all kinds of things happen when you're in the open air, when you're out there outside of the four walls of the meeting house of the church building. You know, when you're out there evangelizing the world, be it knocking on doors or doing what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see it. You're going to have the opposition, because that's how He works. But you just consider now here, what is the power of that prince of the power of the air? And one of the things that we see that he did in Job chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says this: "And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Satan put it into the heart of those men to go after Job to destroy him. He mm-hmm. has the power to do that. And we ought not be surprised that Satan uses the lost. That spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience will work on the lost. Just like you see in that video, the devils come out when you preach. They can't mm-hmm. help themselves. When you watch that video, you will see that Satan had put it into that man's heart to do what he was doing. It was devilish. It was wicked. It was the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And let's move on. Let's move on to some other things that he can
Amen,
do.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. There's so many things,
we're going to run out of time tonight.
Amen, brother. I know it's a vast study. In Mark chapter 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says this: "And these are they by the wayside when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts."
Oh, yeah.
Satan,
absolutely.
And the lost, you could preach, brother, you know as well as I do, you've preached to lost people sermon after sermon after sermon, and it just seems like they just don't get it. The next day, they just don't get it. They didn't get born again. They didn't get saved. You're wondering what's going on here. The Bible says that Satan can come and he can snatch the word out of their hearts.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, we were talking about something just last night. Somebody who's heard the word of God over and over and over and over again, and yet just doesn't seem to get it. And it just breaks your heart when you try and try and try and try to get through to them, and they just can't get it. And
that's right, brother.
Yeah, they continually think it's them doing something. They have to do something. And, you know, until you surrender at the foot of the cross, you're never going to get born again. It takes absolutely surrendering to Christ. It's not an act of the will. It's not, and understand this, folks, it's not a work that you can do. You have to see it. The Holy Ghost of God, as a good brother friend of mine said, he has to flip on the light switch in your soul. Because if he's the only one that can make you see you're lost. But I'm telling you, once he turns the light on in your soul, and you will see your sin as God sees it. And when you see it as God sees it, it will cause a wretchedness in you that you've never experienced before. And then, and only then, will you want to turn to Christ wholeheartedly and completely yield yourself to Him and believe His word and trust His blood to wash your sins away. And only then can you be born again.
Amen, brother. Amen. Let's move on here. The prince of the power of the air can use elements. In Job chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says this: while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, I don't believe this was the fire of God. I don't believe that it was. He called it the fire of God, but I believe it was the fire from the devil. Because in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 13, it says this: and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So we see here that Satan has that power to call down fire from heaven. He did it to Job, and he called down that fire from heaven, and it destroyed Job's substance there that he had.
I was just going to ask you now, and you probably studied this deeper than I have, but I know God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven. But do you think the fire that Satan perhaps called down from heaven might have been lightning?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know. It could be. I've never studied that out before. I know Christ said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven." He talked about that as well. I'm not sure. I do know that the fire is similar to the same fire that lit the sacrifice and licked up all the water, because what happened with Elijah on the mount with 500 prophets of Baal will be the same type of fire that is called down to strike the called down from heaven when the Antichrist does it, with Satan being indwelling him and him having that power to do that. So I don't know that for sure if that's what it is, but it wouldn't surprise me, because he has the power of the elements, so he certainly could cause lightning to do that. He certainly has the power to do that, I believe, and I don't believe that's out of scriptural bounds that he would have that power.
Right. And then in Job 1:18, the Bible says, while he was yet speaking, there came another also and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So I'm supposing that was a tornado. Very well could have been a tornado. And, you've seen all these tornadoes going through the same area in Moore, Oklahoma, around the Moore, Oklahoma area. Three different massive tornadoes go through. And we saw one here recently go through south of Dallas. And of course, we live in Tornado Alley. I know up there in Minnesota, you don't see tornadoes like we see them here. But, once you see the massive power that they have, I understand that Satan doesn't have the ability to do it wherever he wishes, and that's one thing we see that God.
Well, I'm not sure, brother. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if I would agree with that or not. I happen to believe he does have the power to do it where he wants to, and I happen to believe that a lot of people believe that these nations. A lot of people believe that, like with Oklahoma, with the homosexuals, that somebody said that, well, God was punishing them, and God punishes nations, so he was punishing them for having a homosexual parade. No, I think the devil just likes killing people, and I don't know exactly the extent of his power, but he does rule this world. This world is his, and as of right now, it is his. He is the God of this world. So I do believe that he has power to kill when he wants to. Now, I don't know if he can the saved, but I'm not so sure about the lost. I don't know about that.
Right. Well, I don't either. And all we can do is suppose on that. But But we know one thing for sure. An F5 tornado will do a vast amount of destruction. And, there's no doubt about it. If he's in control of that, he is. I mean, he is the destroyer. He is the destroyer.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he's the one that wants to. There's more scriptural evidence. I've heard people argue this, that God is judging nations, so he'll use a tornado or something like that. However, I believe there's more scriptural evidence that the devil will take the winds and he will do what he wants. And the next one that we look at here is a perfect transition in Matthew chapter 8 in verse number 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his devils came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, it's interesting that every time in the Bible we see a rebuking, it is always of a devil or the devils. Now, when Peter's mother when Peter's mother was mother-in-law was sick with a fever, the Bible doesn't say that he just healed her of that fever. It says that he rebuked the fever. It says here that the Lord Jesus, when the waves were tossed, here's what I believe happened there, brother. The prince of the power of the air saw that Jesus Christ was sleeping in that boat, and he said, "Watch what I'm going to do to this boat." And he caused the waves and the sea to roar, and he caused the waves to move, and that's that prince of the power of the air pushing that air around, just like he did with Job, and I believe he did it here with Christ. And he tried to do something here, and Jesus woke out of his sleep, and he said, and he calmed the winds.
Amen. I just preached that 2 weeks ago. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, brother, we've got Brother Russ Hildebrand on that you just talked about that was preaching in that video. He's on hold. He wants to come on and talk. So let's bring Brother
Amen.
Russ here. Brother Russ, you're on there.
Hi, how you doing, Brother Brandon and Pastor Cooley?
You're
talking about this topic on the Satan, the power of the prince of the air. It is interesting because yesterday, my wife's cousin came to visit, and he started talking about something, and I had briefly heard about it, but he was talking about a thing that he practices called Reiki, okay? And he was telling us that there's this aura and power in the universe that God has created. And he's a Reiki master, and he has tapped into it, and he's able to heal people through it. And he was telling us about this Japanese Christian who had hurt himself on a mountain and fell down, and he was meditating on God, and he found this power, and he's able to heal. And this is the same kind of power that Jesus used to heal and the apostles used to heal. And so he's explaining this power that's from the air that he's able to channel in and heal people with. And so I just thought it was quite interesting because as I looked this up today, this Reiki, I found out that a lot of people are believing in this, and a lot of Christians are starting to believe in this, and they're actually promoting this towards Christians, that they can have this healing power. And it's really from God, because it can't be from Satan, because it's good. And so it was kind of interesting, it's some interesting things about that is they're saying, well, only Satan can't heal, so it has to be from God. But we realize in Scripture in Job 2:6 and Job 2:7 where the Bible says here, so in Job 2:7 it says, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet and unto his crown. And we read again in Luke 13:11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. And so as I was thinking about with last time with Pastor Cooley talking about, Satan can afflict people with, you know, diseases and harm. And when he afflicts somebody, he can also take that away. And it looks like he heals them. Okay? And so we're seeing that deception going in there when he's talking about the children, the disobedience. And this man, he's 54 years old, telling us that he's this Reiki master. He does not believe in God. I mean, he believes in God, but he does not believe in the Christian God, okay? He just believes there's God out there and that we can tune into him, and he believes in reincarnation. And yet he's telling me that he has the power of God to heal. And this deception that's going on, that prince of the power of the air. So it was just quite an interesting conversation as he brought up, and it just immediately struck me what Pastor Cooley's been teaching on the prince and the power of the air, and how people are being deceived, and even Christians are being deceived because of these things and believe that they have the power to do these things. And so I just wanted to bring that up. It was kind of interesting. It just kind of struck home with me last night.
Brother Russ,
well, brother, that's... Again,
ahead,
that's that again, that's that spiritism is what it is. And I'm getting ready to preach on that. I really feel like the Lord is really leading me to preach on that, that it's another avenue that Satan is working. And this spiritism, he's right. God generically, little G-O-D, is giving him power to do that. It's the God of this world. It's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There have been many missionaries that have talked about saying that they would be in these tribes and these witch doctors would be able to heal people. They'd heal broken arms. They'd heal different things. Mm-hmm. And then they would get saved, and then they couldn't do it anymore.
Absolutely. And you know, that goes on in just about every culture. You know, the Cajun culture, they have their shamans. You know, every different culture has people like that. And you know, you were talking about, he was saying that, you know, that God helped him to do it. I mean, when you think about it, if you watch, and which I haven't watched in years, but when you watch the Grammy Awards or you watch the American Music Awards, those people who do hideous things for a living and corrupt so many people, they get up there and they thank God. Well, what, you know, and people think, well, they must be all right. They're thanking God. Well, they're not thanking our God again.
That's right, brothers. It's a deception. And it's really interesting because I pulled up this site for Christians, answering Christians' objections to Reiki. And it said, you know, one of the things it said, I've heard people say that Reiki comes from Satan, but how can that be? Because Satan's healing people. And if Satan was healing, this is good, and it can't be of Satan because only good comes from God. And you know them by their fruit. And so they're twisting scripture, and they're saying Satan can't heal. But yet in the same article they have here, Christians have also been praying for additional healing power from the Archangel Michael and Gabriel and other angels of God to be very effective. And this way, your connection with God's love can become very powerful and act as a source of guidance, healing, and love that will always be available to you. So in one word, he says, well, Satan can't heal. It can't be from Satan. And then he's telling us that the other angels, though, they can help you in this healing power. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. And we know that there's no healing power except from God and his power. And so it's very interesting, even in the same, within the same article, how the objections that Christians might have. They attribute Satan can't heal, but the other angels can heal, which we know that Satan is the one of the highest angels, or, you know, the seraphim or cherubim in heaven. So, I mean, the cherubim in heaven. So it's kind of interesting. It's just that false deceiving, and again, you're seeing it through people, and how he's thinking he's doing good, you know. He says, I'm just helping people, I'm doing good. So it can't be of devil because it's good. But we know that Satan comes as an angel of light, and he comes and he deceives people. And that's when the preacher said to me, you know, he talked about Ephesians 2:2 tonight, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This man is unsaved, and he's going to split hell wide open, and he's working in him, but he is deceived, and he thinks that he's doing something for God. And that's what he told us, is I'm just serving God in my own way.
And by the way, the prince of the power of the air does have the power to heal, because in Revelation chapter 13, he will heal the beast when the beast is when he is put down and he has a wound, and then he is healed from that wound 3 days later, and then he rises and Satan enters in. He is healed from that, and Satan does heal him and do many wonders, lying signs and wonders.
Hey, brothers, we're going to have to pause for just a second. We got to take a break. Brother Russ, why don't you stay with us and come back after the break? We're going to take a real short one and bring in another song from the Seminole String Band. Man, what a powerful song this is. This one's about when it come to the end, someday I'm going to be with him. Someday, Seminole String Band. We'll be right back on the Old Paths broadcast.
Someday when my last line is written, someday when I draw my last breath, when my last words on earth have been spoken, and my lips are sealed in death, don't look on my cold form in pity. Don't think of me as one dead. It'll just be the house I once lived in.
my spirit by then will have fled.
I'll finish my time here alone,
but I won't be in darkness alone. I will have heard from heaven the summons to come on home. And when my body is in the grave, don't think that I'll be there. I won't be dead, but living the place Jesus went to prepare.
And after all is said and done,
know that my last earnest prayer is that my loved ones be ready someday to meet me.
Amen. Someday I'm going to be with him. Praise God. I'm glad this world is not my last stop. I'm so glad this is not the end of the road. I'm glad. You know, but the thing of it is, for some people, this is all the hell they're ever going to experience. For those who believed and know that they are Christ and he is theirs, this is all the hell they're ever going to know. But the sad thing is, for those who are lost, this is the only heaven they will ever experience. And we're back on the Old Paths broadcast. And brother, we got a short half hour. We ran over on that last segment, so we're looking at about 22 minutes left in this half hour. And we've still got Brother Russ Hildebrandt from your church up there in Minnesota. And I want to ask you, Brother Russ, you've been out preaching on the street with Brother Cooley?
About the last month we've been out. About 2 months, but it's about the last month we've been going out pretty much every week.
Right. And it takes everything. I think I heard you say it takes everything in you to get out there and go to doing it.
I know God's called me to do it, but yet I fight those fears. When I go down and do it, I get very nervous. And I know it's just Satan trying to hinder me in the areas that I'm weak in my life that I'm trying to strengthen for God. But I made a resolve that, you know, I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and I'm not going to I'm just going to have to trust in God and His power and His Holy Spirit. And so we go out and do it, you know. And I'm not shy to say, you know, I admit that I struggle with it. You know, I struggle with fears and different things. But you know, you got to do what God's called you to do, and. You know, I think sometimes we always try to act like we're so strong and we have it all together and we're just doing it on our own strength. And what God has really showed us, I know a lot, Pastor Cooley and me, is that we need to trust in the strength of God and His power and
Absolutely.
His Holy Spirit to do the work and not try to do it in our way. And if I try to do it in my strength to go out there and street preach, I wouldn't do it. But when I get out there, you just feel the power of God coming upon us, and you start to see people are lost, and you realize that they need to hear about Christ, and that we need to proclaim Christ in this wicked world, and God He brings us through it, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's the victory that we need is we need the power of God, because we have the devil's the prince of the power of the air. And that's his
mm-hmm.
world. When we go out there, we're in his world, and we need the power of God. And I think what's happened to so many Christians is that we try to do it our own strength. And that's why we don't have victory, and that's why we get wiped out, because we're doing it in our strength, not the power of God.
I was just going to say, you know, there's a reason why you feel a little bit nauseous and you feel, you know, a little bit of trepidation about it, because it's not a natural thing to go out and stand in the open air and proclaim Christ and to tell a man he's going to burn in hell if he doesn't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a supernatural thing. And and again, our flesh will fail us. And, you know, it's like an old gospel song says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. And so I really believe that the reason why more people in more Baptist and more independent Baptist churches, and I say that because you and I know that there's not too many Southern Baptists that want to get out there on the street corner. And if there are any, I don't know of any. And certainly there's not any others that I know of that want to do that. It's only the independent Baptists, and a lot of them wouldn't do it either. There's only a small crowd, and there's a reason for that, because it's battle. It's a real battle. And you're going to, you know, something, Brother Cooley, it's something that troubles me. I won't even sing Onward Christian Soldiers anymore. I love that old song, but I can't sing it anymore because it makes me sick. It absolutely makes me sick to sing that song because I know that people aren't like that anymore. There's not armies of Christian soldiers anymore. People have turned to cowardice, and they've forgotten that there's a battle. And if you want to be, you know, if you want to be crowned at, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ, you have got to fight the battles. You've got to be willing to get in the fight, and you can't do it on your own. You've got to have that spiritual armor on. You've got to realize it's a supernatural battle. You've got to identify your enemy. You've got to put on the armor of the Lord. You've got to do it God's way and not your way. And, you know, I just want to, I know you're not going to brag on yourself, Brother Russ, but I want to brag on you because, you know, you're a man in his, you're not a pastor. You're just a brother in that church, and you're willing to get out there and do what God has shown you that not only you are supposed to do, but every Christian man ought to be doing.
That's right, brother. You know, it is a battle, and I think one of the things that we have forgot as Christians is the power of God in our
Amen.
Life. And we've done so many things in our own strength, and that's why we don't have victory, and that's why we have failing families, and the gospel's not being preached. And we just got to get back to the power of God and believing in Him and trusting in Him and stepping out in faith. And it's not, you know, it's not easy. We do have an enemy, and he wants to stop us. But I know that just in the last 4 weeks that we've been preaching, we have learned so much about the Bible, people, and God. And God has shown us so many things from His Scripture, because we're getting out and doing exactly what, you know, John the Baptist, Jesus did, all the apostles. You know, they were out there preaching in the streets. And I feel a connection to them that I've never felt before as I've gotten out there and see the angry faces, and I realize what an enemy we have to battle. And we have to battle them out there in the streets. You know, we can live in the church, and, you know, and yes, the church is for the saved, and that's great. But we need to get out there and proclaim Christ on the streets, because He is worthy to be proclaimed. And people need to hear the true gospel of repentance and faith, okay? Not this false gospel of holding somebody's hand and taking them through a prayer. No, they need to hear somebody telling them about the real Jesus and what He did for them.
Right.
You could tell as we're preaching, you could feel a boldness coming up in you. You know, that's the power of God coming in you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the power that I want to do my, you know, I want to live for Christ in that power. And give Him all the glory, because He deserves all the glory. And I'll tell you, I encourage any man to get out there and start street preaching. And there's some good resources. You know, hook up with Pastor Cooley. He can give you some resources. And I'll tell you what, there is a prince in the power of the air, and he needs to be fought, and God needs man to stand up and proclaim Him to that power. And I'll tell you what, God will give you victory, and I believe that's what our historic Baptist forefathers did, and a lot of them were jailed and killed because of it, but there was great revival. And and that's what we need to get back out there and not be cowering, not hiding away in the church and hoping everything's going to be fine, but to proclaim Him. And you'll see the devils come out. We've seen them. If you watch the videos of what we've been out, just the short time we've been out there, we've seen a lot of stuff. And how people just turn nasty when you preach Jesus' name. And, you know, that's that prince of power of the air. And,
oh, yeah.
And we need to just go back and tell Jesus out to that crowd. And I'll tell you what, you say, well, how many people you've led to the Lord? And we say, we've led everybody to the Lord. Whether they get saved, that's between them and God. But we've led them to the Lord. We showed them Jesus. And they don't have anything to say they don't. that they've not heard the gospel. And so I tell you, it's been very fruitful. And I just, you know, I believe God's, you know, especially us historic Baptists need to get back doing what God has called us to do.
Amen. Yeah, you're battling Satan in his own arena when you're out in the open air. I mean, that takes courage, brother. I mean, you know, he wants us to stay within the four walls of our church. And, you know, he's fine with that because he knows. You know, if we just use that philosophy of every now and then a blind squirrel finds an acorn or a blind pig finds an acorn, somebody happens to wander in and hear the gospel and get saved, he don't mind that. I really believe he does not mind, you know, one or two every once in a while. But he doesn't want the masses to hear because, again, this is his kingdom. This is his world. This is his territory. And he walks up to and fro in the earth, and he's got this thing sewed up in his mind. Right now he's coming into his own, and he doesn't want anybody on his turf. He's like a gang lord, you know. You get on his turf, he's going to battle with you. And, man, it excites me to hear you talk about it, brother. It really does, because I know what you're talking about. I know that rush of Holy Ghost power that comes over you when you get to doing what God wants you to do, and you know you're in his will. You know you're right in the center of where you're supposed to be, doing what you ought to be doing. And there's nothing like it in the world to have God's hand on you. Amen. Right. Amen. I don't, brother. Oh, I thought we lost you for a second, brother. Amen. But you know, I've got some good friends who preach on the street, and I've heard some really awesome things that have taken place, and of course from y'all too. And I've done it some. I've not done it as much as I ought to, and I plan on getting back to it. But you know, even on this program tonight, this is going out all over the world. This is going out over the World Wide Web, and certainly. This is his territory too. And so we're excited just to proclaim him to everybody that'll listen in tonight and everybody that'll listen in on the archives.
That's right, brother. Amen. You know, it's just time that we just start believing in the Lord and trusting him and just going on doing what he does and not worry about what everybody thinks or what the world thinks. We just need to step out in faith, and you're going to see, you know, it's not going to be easy, but you're going to see God's blessing, and that's all we're trying to do. You know, I'm nobody fancy, and you know, our preacher, he will admit the same thing, but we just believe that we need to trust the Lord and go out and do what we need to do, and see God's blessings come from that. So.
Amen. Well, Brother Cooley, we've got about 10 minutes left in this show. So you need to take us in the direction. You want to go to wind this thing down, because we're certainly coming to a close of 2 hours, and it sure has gone fast.
It sure has, brother. Well, let me just say a few things here. Great testimony by Brother Russ, and I'm so glad you called in about that, because, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let every word be established. So there's two witnesses, the fact of what takes place, you know, when you're out there street preaching and you're out there in the open air battling Satan. But some of the other things that this prince of the power of the air, just quickly I'll touch some of these and then we'll close here. But the prince of the power of the air will use sickness to afflict the people of God. In Job chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. In Luke chapter 13 and verse number 11, the Bible says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Jesus had said Satan had bound her, that Satan
right.
was the one that had bound her and caused her to have that. Now, that's certainly not every health concern or every case is that way, but there are some specific cases that are that way that are of satanic or demonic origin. And that Satan is doing that, and the Lord rebuked it. And we see Peter's mother-in-law, the same thing happened. The Lord rebuked the fever that was in his mother-in-law, and she was healed from her fever. We
you
also know
that got a made supper.
That's right. Got up and made some good food. Amen.
Amen.
We also know that the prince of the power of the air has power to put thoughts and temptations in the heart. In Matthew 16:22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him and saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Christ recognized the fact that that was going on, that Satan was having a work in that, and he was doing that. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 1, we see but a certain man named Ananias. Ananias brought in Sapphira, said that they had brought some money and that they sold it for thus. But in verse number 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Satan filled thine heart, it says.
He put the thought into him.
That's right. And I believe Ananias was saved. I believe he got punished by the Lord, and I believe that he lost his life because of that. He sinned unto death. He lied to the Holy Ghost and sinned unto death.
Well, I've seen,
in that way.
I've seen people in churches, and I know you have too, who, brother, Satan's put it into their heart to make attacks against other people in churches. And, I mean, he loves splitting churches. He loves tearing up things. He loves trying to. He's a destroyer, and you know, for people to think that he doesn't get involved in a church and try to destroy it, they're out of their minds. I believe just about every church split that's ever been is a product of his working, and he's certainly not afraid to come in and sit down on the pew on Sunday morning.
That's right, brother. That's his work. I mean, he works in the church. He works on people. He puts it in their heart. Look at that. That was the church. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, was standing there, and the man lied right to him, and he lost his life because of it. The Bible talks about the war that takes place here, talks about the spiritual battles that are there. It also, Paul said that unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Satan, the messenger of Satan, came and afflicted him.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, brother, and you've been afflicted by him. I've been afflicted by him. I mean, he's not afraid of anybody. You know, I think a lot of people think that. They think that just because they got saved, you know, he's going to roll over on his back and kick his legs like a little puppy dog once you scratch his belly. You know, he's not afraid of you. And, you know, again, I don't want anybody to be afraid to battle with him, and you can't do it in your own strength. You're going to have to do it God's way, and we've talked about that tonight. You've got to put on the armor of God. You've got to do it through the Word of God. You know, the Bible does say, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But don't forget that part about submitting yourselves, therefore, unto God. We are to give ourselves totally into his care and do it with his weapons, with his armor on. We have to do it that way. But he's not afraid of you. I can promise you he's not afraid of you.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And you know, brother, some other ways that the devil works as well as the prince of the power of the air is these airwaves that we're on right now, be it radio or television or movies, Hollywood programming. You can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, and you can listen to a Hollywood series that I preached, about a 7-part message on Hollywood that deals with that. What is that? That's the message of over the airwaves. That's the prince of the power of the air, how he uses that 24/7. To reach people and to afflict the people of God with wickedness. And look at this movie Superman. He's got everybody's mind on Superman and trying to make him like he's a type of Christ or something. And he's not a type of Christ. He's an antichrist. That's exactly what he is.
Amen. That's right. And we've done several shows on satanic deception. You can go back in the archives of the Old Paths broadcast. You can listen to the show on Hollywood deception. You can go back and listen to the one we did on Walt Disney. You can listen to the one we did on rock and roll music. There's so much information out there to be had if you're hungry to learn and understand.
Amen, brother. If you want the resources, they're there. They're available. You can visit our website as well, oldpathsbaptistchurch.org. There's sermons there that will talk about that. But you know what? Your number one weapon is the sword of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
It's the Word of God. If you're a saved Christian, then you need to get into that Word of God. And then when I say the Word of God, without question, I'm speaking of the King James Bible. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the Bible. I'm not talking about these modern perversions. By the way, that's one of the powers of Satan, too, as well,
mm-hmm.
is these modern perversions. He is always working with those modern perversions to distort the Word of God and to change it. We can talk about that one week as well, but that's one of his main goals. But we got to get back to putting that armor on that we find in Ephesians chapter 6, getting the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and praying always with all prayer and supplication. And getting the power of God in our lives.
Amen. So I would just say, you know, I'm going to let you close. I'm going to let you get your words in before we close this thing out. We've got about 3 minutes left. But I would just say to the listener out there, tonight before you hit the pillow, go to God in prayer and talk to him about this battle we've been discussing. You're in a battle, whether you realize it or not. You may be grievously losing the battle, but you're in a battle nonetheless. The battle's not going to miss you. You've either given up already, or you have not fought like you should, or you're fighting right now. And wherever you are in your, I'm talking to believers, wherever you may be in your spiritual life, you need to go to God and you need to ask him for reinforcements. And you need to get, like he said, you need to get in that book. You need to get in the Word of God, that King James Bible. You need to get your armor strapped on tight. You need to rely not on your own strength, but on the strength of the power of God, the Holy Ghost of God. I urge you to ask the Holy Ghost of God to give you wisdom and to help you understand the Bible. There's nothing wrong with praying and asking the Holy Ghost for help. He's there. He's your comforter. He's your aid, your helper. He'll guide you. He'll teach you as you read the Word of God and get strong in it. And take the battle to the enemy. You can't do it, but I can tell you right now, when Jesus cast out those demons, they said send us, or those devils, they said send us into that heart of swine over there. What have we to do with thee? I mean, they were afraid of Jesus. Get Jesus fighting your battles. Let him handle the battles for you. And I can tell you right now, listen, the battle's not going to ever stop. So you might as well get on the winning side and start fighting back. Brother Cooley, I'm going to let you take it. Brother Russ, thank you for being with us tonight, brother.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you letting me call in.
Amen, brother.
Yes, amen. Sir. Brother, it's been a blessing, brother Russ.
1 minute,
yes,
Brother Cooley.
As we close this, the one thing that you need to remember is that this is the God of this world. He rules this world. When you're a saved child of God, you just cling to Jesus Christ and trust him by faith and live in this book. Live God's word every day out in your life and cling to that old sword, the King James Bible. And it's your defense. It's your weapon. And pray, pray, pray. We're in a spiritual battle. Don't ever forget that.
Amen. Brother Cooley, it's been a good show. And I've enjoyed being with you.
Amen.
And we'll get back to it next week. We'll get right back into the same old battle, same old enemy, and we'll do it in the strength of the Lord. We're gonna put on the armor of the Lord and fight the battle again tomorrow. But as we say here every week on the program, let God be true and every man a liar. For Brother Jason Cooley, I'm Brother Brandon Teague. Stack them stones, brother. We'll see you next week on the Old Paths broadcast. Thank you.